I trust that you're blessed. I know that you are. Just I trust that you're figuring that out by revelation of the Holy Ghost. This morning, oh shock, we're doing a series on Galatians. We're actually going to turn there. Turn with me to the book of Galatians. The purpose for this series, and last week, am I too loud? I hear an echo. Is that the monitors? I'm not sure what it is. Okay. I'll ignore it. You demand. Huh? Up here? Yeah, it could be. Oh, bearded one. Okay. We're doing a series for several years, as you figured out, on Galatians. I don't know what a short, I don't even know what a series is anymore. We just break the word and go, okay? Crystal, how did I go right over top of you? Welcome home. How are you?
Thank
Good
you.
To see you. Absolutely. You're still hanging with this guy. I can see hanging with Stacy, but... What got you clear up here on the second row? You usually sit way back there. Did Sally chase you off?
Yeah.
We got... That's funny. I'm going to get rid of this coat. Is it hot?
Yeah.
It's hot. Yeah. Ushers, it's hot. We got a bunch of people saying yes. So let's please everybody and just stop the whatever's blowing. And then we'll see how it goes. Because the last thing I want you doing is going to sleep. Okay. The book of Galatians. Last week, we hit pretty hard the idea of confidence before God. And we looked at the scripture. And let's turn there very briefly. Hold in Galatians, because we are going to read a number of verses. And then I want to read the chapter, the whole chapter 3. But just very quickly, where we left off last week. 1 John chapter 5. And look all the way down. At verse 14, John, and we're going to, time allowing, we want to look a little closer at John and see where this came from. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, "And this is the confidence." Those of you that were here last week, how many enjoyed a fresh look at confidence before God? Absolutely. And that is my goal. An intention by the Holy Spirit in this whole process of looking at Galatians and tying in, because this is a shotgun blast from the hip by Paul. I mean, he starts out pretty fired up, and he kind of sort of simmers down by chapter 6. But he's upset, and with good reason, because people who are new Christians, Gentiles, have come into Christ. They're excited about their walk with God. And the religious have come in. The term for these specifically were Judaizers that had come in and tried to put them back under the Mosaic law. Larry, just hit me. Welcome. Praise God. They had come back in and tried to put these babies in Christ back under the law. And Paul does not look at this as a slight infraction. This whole book is dedicated to wham! Let's kill this before it gets started, the way this book looks. He's fired up because he is, and you see it in the whole book, and we're going to look at a few of these a few things in particular that you'll see what I'm talking about. Their very identity in Christ is being challenged by this. It's no small thing. He starts out saying some pretty radical stuff. If anybody preaches a different gospel than this that I delivered to you, if I or an angel comes to you and preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. Of course, we know what that means. He's not saying curse to hell. He's saying, let them be banned, set aside, not listened to, set apart. Ignore them. Don't listen to what they've got to say at all. And he references that himself in one of the verses that we're going to be looking at. So the whole theme of Galatians is don't be entangled again in bondage. Stand fast, we'll read, in the liberty that you have found in Christ Jesus. He is concerned about this, that they would lose their confidence. Paul makes a number of references himself about his confidence before God because of the grace that is manifested through the Lord Jesus Christ in our behalf. So this is the theme of the book. And here John, the apostle, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. In who? In Jesus. This is the confidence that we have in him. Do you know that most believers, maybe you are here today and you struggle with this. You love Jesus, but you're not necessarily confident before or in him. You know, there's a lot of spirit-filled people that talk a lot about grace, but when it gets right down to it, are they confident in him? You know, this is why, as we talked about last week, there's a stutter. My Bible still says, they that believe in my name will cast out devils. There's nothing I dislike more, right or wrong, than people who run around being super spiritual. They see a devil everywhere and are always just praying in other tongues and walking around like they're a foot off the ground and acting super spiritual and can't even hardly be friendly. You know, but we've almost gone off on the other end. We've been so afraid of this that we've gone into the other ditch. We were joking around yesterday, Anna and her husband, we were out in the lobby, and they were putting all this stuff together with all the different help, and she says, you slow me down if I get to charging too. I said, listen, Anna, I love, she says, sometimes I get to charging ahead, and I said, I'll tell you one thing, it's a lot easier to direct a chargy horse than to try to resurrect a dead one. And, isn't that right, Ibby? I mean, there's nothing wrong with fire. In fact, we could use a little. I'm about up to here with the seeker-friendly nonsense. At some point, where do you stop placating people's itching ears and tell the truth? And it amazes me that the preaching of grace is as much an offense as the preaching of, the baptism in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues or in miracles. And yet my Bible still says, they that believe in my name will cast out devils. That's why I gave that example last week of a situation I had and the fact that I wasn't perfect. But the Word of God was still true. Those of you that are here with me, okay? And we don't run around acting like that all the time. And like I said, maybe we should more. I don't know. We'll let God do that. Let the love of God fire you up. But anyway, confidence. A stutter, a struggle before God. Because no matter how much we may champion a cause of spirit-filled living, many people struggle when it gets right down to it for them personally to step in there and do something. There's a hitch in their giddy-up. Say, what? There's a hitch in their giddy-up. It's so quiet in here. That's really not that deep. Think about it. Okay. So, all right. A hitch in her what? Okay. All right. He says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Do you know every time you open your mouth, that he hears you? Most people will nod their head and agree with that, but we live as though we hope he does. Not all of us, but many of us. This is the confidence that we have in him. Okay, listen to what he says. If we ask anything according to his will, what is his will? Where do we find his will? Huh?
It says according to his will.
Well, his will in context here as you read through 1 John is this. His will is found right here. Yes, that's a whole another can of worms. We're going to go there. We are going to go there. But she's saying, what is his will? And she said, we have friends that pray, well, if it's God's will, that the Lord, they pray for people to be healed, and if it's God's will, then he'll heal them. The thing is that's perfectly fine in areas that are not already clear-cut, black and white, defined in God's word, what the apostle references as great and exceeding precious promises that in him are yes and amen. For example, Psalms 107 verse 20, which states, he sent his word, Jesus, and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He who forgives all of our sin, our iniquities, and heals all of our diseases. How Jesus of Nazareth went about, Acts 10:38, doing good, anointed of the Holy Ghost, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. That's just a few. The will of God is made clear in his word. That's why Romans 12, just continuing on this just a little bit more, says, because of this great mercy, we now have the privilege of offering. This is miraculous, because I don't know about you. My flesh, I know me. Tom raises his hand, he goes, he does too, he's my neighbor. He goes, has to turn my horse water off every once in a while. I know me. It has to be a miracle that I could present this body a living sacrifice. What? Holy and acceptable unto him? A reasonable service? There has to have been a miracle. After he says that we can do this, he says, how do we do this? He says, be not conformed to this world, but rather be you transformed by the renewing of your minds. And he immediately begins to speak of this. He says that you may know that which is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. These are not three separate things, as I was taught in Bible school. It's some of you men talking about your wife. You're wonderful. You're beautiful. You're perfect. You're good. This is what this is. Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You get this in your heart, it'll begin to change your head about what you look like in the spirit to God because of your faith in Jesus, and that's a mouthful. And you'll hear it over and over and over again here. Amen. So, I don't know if that helps a little bit, but we'll get more into the other, but that'll get you. So this is his will. You know, we spent a number of months on the blessing of the Lord. Proverbs 10:22. It tells us that the blessing of the Lord makes rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. I have people all the time, you know, prosperity gospel. That's just, well, who prospers you? You? So you take credit for you? Who prospers you? I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that the gospel prospers his own. He promises it. Just because there's all kinds of extremes and people gone weird directions with all that, don't back off. We just are so bad about going from one ditch to the other. How about just get your eyes on Jesus and get down the middle of the road like we were talking about last week? Anyway, I'm off the subject. Let's move forward. Now, if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions. We know that we have already the things that we have desired of him. Verse 15. Everybody in here say confidence one more time. So this is what Paul, this is why we took the time last week to talk about the things that we did. And Galatians, this is where Paul is pretty riled up. He sees a challenge to their identity, a challenge to their freedom, a challenge to the simplicity of the gospel. He doesn't go light on the reintroduction of the law. Now, I want to come back to John, time providing. But I want us to look now at Galatians and just hit a few things. For those of you that have not been with us, I would encourage you. Chad and I were talking yesterday. He said this. He said, Pastor Lee, he said, that probably is one of my favorite books in all the Bible. He said, it really spoke to me in my struggle with this concept called the grace of God. I'm not going to read everything, but just to hit a few highlights, I would encourage you to read the book of Galatians through. Get a couple of different translations and look at what it is actually saying. And in the back of your mind, understand that what Paul is concerned about is confidence before God being robbed. So, look at chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel. Those of you that have been with us will forgive us a moment as we catch others up, and it'll be a good refresher for you. We'll just hit some highlights. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He begins to define very clearly in chapter 4 what he means specifically by another gospel. So there's no ambiguity here. He's very, very cut and dried and very, very clear, especially in this book, which is not another. So what he means by that is not even the gospel. It's not another gospel because that's a misnomer, he's saying, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven preaching another gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be anathema, which is the original Greek, which means banned, set aside, done away, have nothing to do with. All right? Jump on down, if you would, to verse 12. Actually, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel, he said, I want you to know of a certainty, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Verse 12, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I've also heard this taken out of context, and this is where you get a lot of religious nonsense. Major religions of the world, always seeking to put a man in the position of God. And that's all I'll say. It happens over and over and over again. Here, you hear people say that Jesus appeared to Paul almost physically and revealed to him this whole new brand. That right there is inherent. I mean, it is not, no, that's the wrong word. It's inherently dangerous because that opens the door for a lot of nonsense. It's the breeding ground for cults. When you can say, I received a vision, a man who I have a lot of love for, who I received a lot from his ministry, who is with Jesus, who had an impact specifically with the message of faith, said that Jesus appeared at his bed in his 70s and told him to tell the people to stop clapping in church, that it was interrupting the anointing. That's another spirit. You say, well, how can that be? Well, what do you mean, how can that be? Have you read your Bible lately? Peter saying, oh, no, Lord, I'm not going to let this happen to you. They're not going to take you down. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. He wasn't calling Peter Satan, but he was dealing with a spirit of Antichrist that was attempting to operate through a very dear, precious man to Jesus. By the way, the preacher of Pentecost later on. He wasn't condemning the man, but he was dealing with a spirit that was coming through that man of unbelief and of Antichrist. In another place, though, they're having a conversation. And in that, Jesus suddenly turns to Peter and he says, well, Peter, who do you say that I am? Peter, suddenly under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, opens his mouth and out of it flows, out of the anointing, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Simon of Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but God himself. Say, man, aren't you glad today for mercy and grace? Same guy. So my dear brother that I'm talking about, we have to realize that we can't do that. And listen, this right here, people have sought to take Paul, put him on a pedestal that he always decried. I, Paul, an apostle, the least, a minister, not minister. I'm up here, you're down there. I'm the minister. Paul was saying, I'm a servant for you. Pretty awesome. What he says here is, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of. Can everybody in here say of? Oh. He was in the Word. The Holy Spirit revealed to him the same thing that he revealed to those on the road to Emmaus, that throughout the Old Covenant, he, our Redeemer, is seen. By revelation, Paul, quoting, he didn't have no New Testament. He wrote most of it. He was quoting the Old. There was no New Testament. He was quoting the Old. The revelation of Jesus Christ came to him by revelation of the Holy Ghost in reference to what he was seeing in the voice and the cry of the prophets. And as Jesus said, all of Scripture. Beautiful stuff. So, revelation of Jesus Christ. That means that the door is wide open for you today. Your life can go higher and deeper, become stronger and fuller as you progressively receive a greater revelation of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Paul himself said in reference to this revelation, turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians. Two books over. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to come back to this verse quite a bit, but I just wanted to share this with you while we're on this particular vein of thinking. Verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. The religious would say he lost everything, he's just a poor man. That's not what he's referring to. That's not even what he's talking about. He's already said what he's talking about. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, Jew of Jews, perfect, he said. In exterior obedience to the law, he was perfect in it. He himself says it in this chapter. And yet he says, in reference to those things, he says, it no longer means anything to me. That verse, look at 8, I count all things but loss for the excellency of knowledge of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, having not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. Underline that. The clues are everywhere. Why are we still preaching the law as the path of deliverance for the believer? We're going to talk about Galatians today before we leave, about the purpose of the law. I will have to do nothing but read to you out of your own Bible. Awesome stuff. Okay, so here we go. He says, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Back up. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. How many in here have a heart cry to know him more? Yeah. What about the rest of you? Let's have an altar call. Musicians, would you make your way to the platform? How many have a heart cry to know him more? that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I love verse 12. He says, not as though I had already attained. He's saying, I haven't made it. I don't know it all. This revelation of Jesus Christ started a process in me that has changed my life. But I haven't attained yet. So there's hope for you and me. Come on, that's good news. Paul is saying, this great gospel I received by revelation of Jesus Christ, and I haven't yet made it. I don't understand it all. But look at what he says. I love it. It's a little convoluted in the King James. Not as though I already attained, either were already perfect. I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. What he is saying is the opposite of what the church world is telling most of us. I don't yet quite have a hold of this great gospel of grace, his perfect love for me, righteousness by faith, but it has a hold on me. I haven't quite apprehended, but it's apprehended me. Could you lift your hands up all over the house and thank God it's not all up to you? That's pretty awesome. Brethren, I count, just in case you didn't get it the first time, Paul's saying, let me repeat myself. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Have you messed up? Spun out? Hit the guardrails a few times? Said some things you shouldn't? Let your mouth run? Speak negative? Talk doom and gloom? Find yourself in a mess? Why, you sorry, unrighteous, rotten hypocrite, be away from us who are holy. Join the group, actually. He says, this one thing I do. Think of the things that Paul had to forget. You think you're bad? Oh, I'm so bad. I'm so bad. I'm so bad. I'm so aware of my badness. I'm so bad. Here, boys, while you kill Stephen, hand me your coats. That's worse than the guys doing the deed. I'm overseeing this wonderful thing. As Stephen the apostle is killed. Think of the things he had to forget. This one thing I do. Some of you in here need to grab a hold of that and say, this one thing I will do from now on by his grace. I forget. My past no longer defines who I am today and from here on. It's all relevant. So you grew up in church. You never did anything bad. Well, this thing of faith is all relevant to where you're at in him. Are you listening to him now? The Bible says whatsoever is not of faith, Paul said, is sin. And sin is sin. As I said last week, there's not misdemeanor sins and federal level sins, and it's sin. Now, we deal with them different on this side of life, and we should. I'm here glad that there is a law of the land that the same apostles who preached grace said, pray for these guys, for they are your servants, helping keep you safe. He says, pray for them that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life. That means that I need to complain less about Chino Valley cops and pray more for them. What are you laughing at? Okay. Jesus loves Barney. Anyway, we'll go. So, Barney Fife, come on. Okay. That's terrible. See, we don't need a video with me. Thank God, I'm in trouble. John, help me. Okay, so here we go. We doing all right? Okay. See, that's the kind of stuff you got to pray for me that I don't do. Okay, so here we go. Where in the world was I? I'm sweating. He says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know that every single one of you in here is called of God? Every single one of you in here is called of God unto an eternal purpose right here. I don't have time to get into all that, but every one of you has a ministry, a beautiful place that makes a difference in our world. Stop leaving it up to the preachers. You proclaim with me and watch us change our world. Amen? Thing is, most don't because of this theme. We'll pay somebody else to it because who am I? I'm going to show you who you are, and it's pretty exciting. And it doesn't have to be intimidating. All right? He says, I forget. Steve, we can forget. This doesn't mean we mentally forget. That's silly. There's people who said, well, if you've really forgiven, you'll never... Excuse me, I was talking to someone, I don't remember who it was. The other day we were talking about this very thing. And I said, man, I'll tell you what, there's some relationships that I reached into, and I reached into a bear trap. I came out with three less fingers. Now I remember who it was, so please, I'll keep it right there. But I'm not going to reach in that bear trap over and over again. But I can still pray and believe. And there is an attitude like God's forgetfulness towards us in reference to our sin. Your sins, this is His promise under the new covenant, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. It's not that God suddenly has amnesia. He's saying, my attitude and who I am, everything I am towards you now, an attitude of I will remember them no more under this new covenant. We'll look at that in Hebrews, probably not today. Except we're going to take our time on this theme. Aren't you glad for Jesus? All right. He paid it all. He says, I press towards the mark of the... Did I finish my thought? I think I did. Okay. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling, of our high calling in Jesus Christ. How many are aware that there is a place in God for you in which you make a difference eternally in others' lives? That's pretty amazing. But we all are called unto this purpose. Aren't you glad for that? Okay, so there's just a little picture of what Paul is talking about. Revelation of Jesus Christ. And it comes as we're able to receive it, a little bit at a time. So, back to Galatians 1. You getting anything out of this? I pray that you are. Okay, so Galatians, Paul says, chapter 1, neither was I taught it, chapter 1, verse 12, neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of, everybody say of, Jesus Christ. Now jump on down a little bit further, if you would, to chapter 2, jump down to verse 4, where Paul is now really talking personally of what he's dealing with and why he wrote this letter, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us unto bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. In other words, he said, I didn't tolerate that nonsense, not even for an hour. That's what he's saying. Pretty straight about it. Verse 14, he rants for a while. If you read the chapter, 14, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Everybody in here say truth of the gospel. When I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, if we were to go back to Philippians 3 that we just left, Paul said, I was a Jew of Jews. Circumcised on the eighth day, and he starts his list of accomplishments. Okay? He said, if we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ, in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Period. End of story. Chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Are you so foolish? Verse 3. Having begun in the Spirit, you are now made perfect by the flesh. Today I won't have time again, but I'm going to talk to you about the difference. We'll get there. The difference between walking according to the Spirit versus after the flesh. And it's not probably what many of us think. But let's move forward right for right now. Verse 8. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. I can feel somebody in here arguing with themselves. Let me help you out a minute. You get to do that all the time at home, at the TV, and everything else. In here right now, I want you to just listen. Stop building a defense and making the same old arguments and rolling the same old stuff and not hearing what's being heard. When we do that, we're hearing through filters. Nobody's going to make you swallow this. Nobody is going to bring you by force into the subjection of these truths. So relax. Grace preachers are the opposite of that. All I want you to do is give a chance to hear it out before you build a defense. Just hear it out. Because this right here robs spirit-filled believers who ought to be devil chasers instead of chased by devils of that confidence. This robs people of Pentecostal people who can't get the baptism in the Holy Ghost and they're scared to death of tongues because of this right here. So cease from arguing. Nobody's forcing anything on you. Open your ears and listen. Hear it out. Be like the Bereans, who were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they sought the Scriptures to see if these things were true. I know I just heard from God. This is not a rebuke. It is a gentle, loving, hey, let's keep it going in the right direction. We're doing all right? Okay, so moving along, he says here, and the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. I think most believers don't even know what that means. We'll get into that more. I want to hit some more scriptures. Verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Jump down to verse 20. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Question. God forbid. We are not antinomian here. We do not say the law has ceased, done away, destroyed, and has no purpose. Number one, Paul, the preacher of grace, said the law is for the lawless. Now we're speaking of the Mosaic law in reference to or in context with the redemption of man. We're not talking about earthly law. Now there is, I won't get into that right now. That'll get too confusing. Let's just stop right there. We'll iron these things out as we move forward. Who are the lawless in this context? Unbelievers. The law, Paul said, is for the lawless. The writer of old, the word of God, which stands forever, said that this law is forever settled in heaven. So we're not against the law, but we are concerned that people keep it in its rightful context. You think I'm over-drilling this? You yourselves know, in your business, you start sharing the wonderful love of God and the great grace of the Lord Jesus and your new confidence in the Father, and you will immediately be confronted by the religious, well-intended, who love Jesus, and they're going to be there in heaven, but they will immediately begin to try to correct and direct and get you to simmer down and not be so. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And you can't say, well, I heard. No, you need to know yourself how to answer in love and help somebody see that this great grace of God, you had zilch to do with it. I'm very glad for Jesus this morning. All right? So, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. If there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been. How many are underlining in your Bibles? I hope that you are. I hope you're making notes because it's all through here. Should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded. That means something has been in the mind of God been finalized. This argument should no longer be being moved forward. This should have stopped when Jesus said, "It is finished." You bet it was, but not in people's minds. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus, notice not your faith, but the faith of Jesus. Romans 10 reveals that faith comes to you by hearing. That's your faith. This same book in chapter 2, verse 20 says, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You live by whose faith? The wonderful gift of the faith of Jesus was given to you when you opened up your heart and you said, I believe and confess with my mouth that you are, together with Peter, the Christ, the Son of the living God, proven, and that you died, was buried, and resurrected on the third day. And now, because of the work of the Holy Spirit, I'm resurrected together with you and seated, according to Ephesians 2, in the heavenlies with Jesus. I'm very glad for that today. This is rich stuff. The scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given unto them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Before faith came, we were kept under the law. Shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. shut up, away, separated from faith. These are clear, distinct separations. Wherefore the law was our... Are you reading with me, people? This is amazing. For the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after, somebody needs to underline this, circle it, highlight it, and if you don't have your Bible, grab your neighbor's Bible and do it for them. You need to know today absolutely what the Word of God says. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. You say, what's this got to do with me, Pastor Lee? I'm not Jewish. I don't know anything about Jewish stuff and all that. Here's what we're going to tie, and I'm going to show it to you. Is that walking according to the flesh, Paul ties that to any form of self-imposed law that is tied together with the law. That was the purpose of it. For you to get more from God that you perceive He hasn't already given to you. When Peter said, we have received already everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Philemon 1:6 says, your faith becomes effective when you acknowledge all the good that is in you in Christ Jesus. That's wild. Because religion has taught you all your life, there's none good. No, not one. You're right. After the flesh, there isn't. There's only one righteous. Only Jesus. There's one thing they leave out when they say, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Damn it. Did you say that, Pastor Lee, in church? Don't look at me like that. This is where so many believers live. A fountain of blessing and cursing. The confusion. It comes out when they don't even know it. Not because they're not loved of God and not born again, but cursing, the hybrid of law and grace, produces a mixture that is confusing. The world is confused about who. Hey, have you failed? We're not condemning, you're pointing a finger. What I'm showing you is that the product of this is confusing. And it doesn't work. There's no power in it. I'm very glad for Jesus today. We doing all right? Can we do a little bit more? All right. After that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, neither is there Jew. I don't know when we're going to get this right. Neither is there Jew nor Greek. It's over. Bond nor free. Slaves. Neither is there male nor female. We understand the context. For you are all one. Look around this morning. One. How? In Christ Jesus. If you be Christ, then are not theoretically in the heart and mind of God literally, By the spirit of adoption. Well, Pastor Lee, adoption is the same as being naturally. That is religious gobbledygook. Adoption in God's world is not like adoption in our world. It's a supernatural infusion of the life of God, and I am as much the seed of Abraham as anybody else on planet Earth, and heirs according to the promise. Your Bible says so. Now I say, now this is beautiful right here. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, listen close. The heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be the Lord of all. So in other words, he has an inheritance. There is a... Well, let me just keep writing, reading. He is under tutors and governors until the appointed time of his father. So he's giving an illustration here, let's say, of a young prince who is a child. And he, as a child, if the king is a good king, he's no different in his training than a servant. This is what he's saying. There's no power, there's no authority there. There need to be the same processes of discipline and correction and guidance and all the other things. Boy, how that has changed. Okay, so he says, though he be Lord of all, he's no different than a servant, but is under tutors and governors until the appointed time of the Father. Say with me this morning, there is an appointed time of the Father. Okay? Even so, now here he's going to show you what he's talking about. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time, this appointed time, God sent forth his son made of a woman under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Did you hear what just happened? Paul's fired up about an identity issue. He's wanting to take sons and put them back to children and servanthood status. He's saying that when the law was complete, look at what he says, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. How many are glad this morning for the Spirit of God in you? And I pray that every Sunday, it with greater and greater confidence, you can lift up hands and say, Daddy God. That just so ruffles religious feathers. But like Brother John Osteen used to say years ago, if I'm rubbing the fur the wrong way on the cat, let the cat turn around. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, a daughter of the Most High God. You still see yourself as a sinner saved by grace, but I'm telling you, that's not a good concept of your identity. I was going to take the time this morning, and I can't, but I'll give you a little picture. Adam was set in the garden into a situation that was complete. He was made in the likeness and the image of God. The Bible says that they were told to eat freely of all that was in the garden, save one tree. Satan came and said, oh, but what he said about that tree isn't necessarily true. If you eat it, You will be like God. He challenged Adam's identity. He was created in the image and the likeness of God. He was given dominion. We did a series on that is powerful. He had everything. Everything was complete. He was put into a setting of complete provision. No need to do anything but harvest. But the devil planted the thought in his mind that he wasn't who God said he was. If you eat of that tree, then you will be like God. In one foul swoop, man's identity. This is the purpose of redemption. A word that means purchased back. Brought back to oneness with God. Listen to the heart of God. God is not stupid or blind. He knew exactly where Adam was at. But his heart as a loving father, now brokenness because of sin. Romans 5 says that death came into the world through sin, through the first Adam. We're going to look at it. But listen to the heart of Father God. It's not anger. It's Adam, Adam, Adam. Where he knew where he was physically. That's a broken heart of the Father, his prized creation. What a thing. The walk together in the cool of the evening, fellowshipping in their innocence, naked, and they could not see it. Another plane. Now suddenly, because of sin, they're aware of their nakedness. Fear comes in. Confidence right out the window. Redemption was intended to restore our relationship and confidence in Father God. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Same writer, Paul. Romans 8. You getting anything in this, out of this? Isn't it powerful? How I love it. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Let's just back up. We got to back up a little bit more. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We're going to talk about those verses and what they mean. This is not a reversion to works. It'll blow your mind. Keep things in context. For you've not received the Spirit. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you've received the adoption, the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. The word there in the original, if you look at it closely, means that a new man came in to the exclusion of another and was joined as one with Jesus Himself. Joint heirs. Pretty awesome stuff. So I've got to finish up. Man, how do you finish this up? I think I'll just leave it right there because I want you to see more than anything else. Their identity is what was challenged. Adam's identity. Here, the reintroduction of do versus believe. The challenge of our identity. He says, he goes on to say, wherefore, verse 7, now we're back in Galatians chapter 4, wherefore thou art no more a servant but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit, then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather have known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Listen to what he says before we go. You observe days, months, times, and years. This is a direct reference to all that is tied, not just the Big Ten, but all that is tied to the law. He says, I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beg of you, be as I am, and I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. He goes on to talk about how he preached with passion. Jump on down to verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me that you desire to be under the law. Do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. I'm down in verse 22. But he who was of the bondwoman, and he goes on to make a separation, which I will not make today. We're going to stop right there, between Sarah and Hagar. And he literally says, Hagar must be cast out. Hagar. The law. Any form of self-righteous. I want to tell you today that anything that you think you do to better up on what God has already done instead of receiving by faith in His grace what He has already done is self-righteousness. And I've got news for you. Self-righteousness is the mother of all sins. It's the big one. How many are glad that it is no longer by our own righteousness, but faith in His work? I believe that the more we get a hold of this, the more confidence will begin to rise, and the more we begin to realize where we're going in this is finding out that there's a reason why John knew that he was loved. There's a reason why John said this is the confidence. How many in here, your confidence is rising just by hearing these little things being unlayered? This is the point. John had confidence. John didn't run like a chicken like all the other apostles. He stood at the foot of the cross. Unafraid. Because he had got a revelation of the love of God. That's why John could say, this is the confidence. You know my confidence? To stand among Roman soldiers saying, take me if you want to, but I'm not going anywhere. I identify with Him. He loved me. I'm not moving. How many in here can say, because He loves me, I'm not moving. I'm staying in this grace. Paul is saying, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast in this liberty. This liberty isn't freedom to just do whatever and everything's okay. It's the freedom to move away from the schoolmaster and into a living relationship in which, listen, don't lose it. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Into relationship that was spoke of in our day. I'm going to write my law in your hearts. How was he going to do it? By the Holy Spirit. You'll do more out of a response to the love of God than you could ever do out of the constraint of faulty fences. How many this morning are glad for the schoolmaster? But how many are seeing that we are no longer under a schoolmaster? We are now free in Christ. We now have a living relationship the Holy Spirit now living on the inside of us, who leads us and guides us into truth. When we move in the direction of sin, He doesn't vacate the premises. He's in there gripping tighter in our weaknesses, Romans 8 says. He doesn't turn His back and walk away. He grips tighter together with us and prays with us with groanings and travailing that cannot be uttered in our struggle. He's not a God who quits on you and leaves. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Let's stand all over the room and let's just worship a minute, shall we? Jesus, how we love you. How we honor you. How we receive. Could you just, together with me today, just receive the love of God? Oh, I'm so glad today. You know, we didn't get there today, but just let this minister to you. John reveals in his own epistle, he said that those that are still under the law, he said they remain in a fearful dread of fiery judgment. But he said because of Jesus, he said perfect love has cast out all fear. How many can lift your hands today and just take a little bit more of the perfect love of God that removes fear, removes the lack of confidence? Hallelujah. And causes us to begin to step out and dare to do what He said we could do because we are the called of God. Say with me all over this house, let's make a confession together today and let's cease from the religious past saying these things and say it now in a whole new emphasis. I want you to say it out loud so your neighbor can hear you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh man, say it one more time. I can do all things. I can lay hands on the sick. I, come on, say it with me. I can walk free of bondage. I can speak to mountains. I can make a difference. You say, well, Brother Lee, that's a little scary. What do you mean you? Isn't it Jesus? Jesus sent them out and said, you go heal the sick in my name. You do in His name. Don't stand back and say, God, you do. See, that's the thing. That's the problem with this whole issue of do. It's not about do. It's about move forward as we believe. Say with me one more time. I can do all things through Christ. My confidence is great. I don't fear the future. I have great confidence that He is with me. For greater is He. Come on, shout it out. Greater is He. Ron, shout it with me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, man, come on. Greater is He. Woo, I'm so glad today. When I can't live up to it like I'm supposed to, Paul told Timothy, when we deny Him, He cannot deny us, for He cannot deny Himself. He's saying, you and me, brother, you and me, sister, we're one. For me to deny you at this point because of precious blood that was shed long before you had anything. Oh, I'm having a tizzy. Long before you had anything to do with it. Way before you had anything to do with it. I can't deny myself in you. Father, today we speak freedom over this group of people. Strength, a new confidence, boldness of the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you that today your people feel your presence through this week, a burgeoning of the knowledge and experience of God. I thank you that it drives out depression. This time right now, Christmas, I'm sorry it's late, but I can't stop. You can leave whenever you want to. You're dismissed and I'm going to go. Christmas is marked with depression. But you need to shout out today, not only, come on, say it with me, not only do I refuse to be a thermometer, but by the Holy Ghost, I'm going to be a thermostat. I'm going to set the temperature in my home, in my community. Come on, are you here today? Because of the grace of God in me. Paul got to bragging. I didn't get there either, but we will. Hang around. He says, I labored because of the grace of God. He said, a lot of guys work in ministry. But he said, I'm thankful that because of the grace of God, I labored more than all of them. Come on, would you lift your hands one more time? Great grace. Great grace is on you, Chris. This is not just a job. You know that. Ministry. Flowing. Gifting. Doing what it's supposed to do all over the house. Many of you haven't been able to breathe for a long time spiritually because you've just been told so often and so much about where you fall short. I got news for you. All have sinned and fallen short. That's not the good news. The good news is when we were yet dead in trespasses and sins, He raised us up together to be seated with Him in the heavenly. That's the good news. Woo! That gives me boldness to worship. Boldness to forget what is behind and move forward into a new way of life. Confidently. And when I blow it, it's no longer no pass go, back to the beginning, no collect $200. It's stumble, as you hear me say amen all the time. Stumble up and forward because of the grace of God. No more back. When I hit my knees, I'm going to get back up declaring, God, you know my heart. I give you this sin. I'm not backing up one iota. I believe I am the righteousness of God in Christ, and I'm moving forward. I'm not wallowing 5 seconds in this defeat. For there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No fear of punishment. Whew. Are you starting to see it a little bit? You get this on the inside of you where it's not just a Sunday morning experience, but you start mumbling this stuff under your breath. You start going into Tuesday going, man, I know I've made some messes, but I'm getting a hold of the truth. I don't yet join Paul. I don't yet have a hold of this thing, but I got a sense that it's got a hold of me. It's got a hold of me, and I'm not looking back. I'm forgetting that which is behind. Moving forward. People, we've got a community that needs to see Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know where to quit. I'm going to do my favorite dismissal. Get out of here quick. Before I preach another hour.